Let's get started here. This rock is still up on the stage. I didn't move it. I didn't know that I didn't move it. I mean, it was one of those things that I didn't intentionally not move it. It's just still up here on the stage. And there's a reason for it, I guess, because we're not done talking about the rock. I thought I was done talking about the rock, but the rock is still, I have more that you need to understand about it. It's a little bit more complete. I ran across a passage in John chapter 7 this week that just made me go, huh, because I went out this week and I picked up all these rocks, and other people had picked up some rocks and brought them in. If you didn't notice it, they're outside by the cross. Out in front, there's a tree, and underneath that tree, there's a pile of rocks. And I went and picked up some big rocks, and some people brought in some other big rocks and some small rocks. There's all kinds of rocks underneath that tree, and those rocks are there for you. I'm just going to tell you right now, they are there for you to go and pick up and bring back and put in your yard as a remembrance. But I don't want you to, here's the biggest thing, because some of you weren't here last week. I need to explain what's going on here. It's not just about going as a family, and it's not like a Christmas tree, okay? It's not like you're going out, oh, we're going to go get a Christmas, and you go pick out the perfect Christmas tree, and you go put it in your house, and it sits there, and you decorate it, and you go ooh and ah for a few weeks, and then you check it out for the garbage man to come up and pick up a few weeks later. It's not that idea. This rock has more significance. It's not just about picking up a rock and putting it in your yard so you have to mow around it. The rock represents memories. We were talking last week in the book of Joshua that all these different things, seven times throughout the book of Joshua, they set up rocks as reminders of what God has done in their lives. There were rocks that were set, sometimes the rocks weren't set up as reminders. Sometimes they were thrown as a pile of rocks to cover up sin that was going on. But seven times in Joshua, rocks were used to be used as reminders of what God has done. Is this on? Yeah, it is. Okay. As reminders of what God has done. And so Joshua, at the very end of the book of Joshua, he talks about this whole idea of, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he's asking the rest of the congregation, he's asking the rest of the tribe of Israel, he says, who are you going to serve? What are you going to do? Who is your life going to be devoted to? And they all said, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And so Joshua said, great, that's what I want to hear. I'm paraphrasing big time here, okay? He says, great, that's what I want you to hear. And if you're making that covenant with God, we're going to take a rock. And he took this rock and he set it underneath an oak tree there in Meribah. And he says, this rock is going to be a reminder of the covenant that you guys are making. He says, I want you to remember all the things that God has done in your life. He says, I want you to remember going through the Red Sea. I want you to remember the battles of Jericho. I want you to remember the quail and the manna and the water gushing out of the rock. I want you to remember all the things that God has done for you in your lifetime. And I want you to remember those things. I want you to set up this monument so that you'll remember it. So you'll remember. And that's a great thing. And that's what I want each one of our families in our church to do. I want you to remember what God has done in your lives. I want you to remember how he has blessed your families. I want you to remember the journey that you've been on with your Lord and Savior for the past 40 years. And I want you to remember those things and tell them to your kids. I want you to remember how God has changed your lives. I want you to remember how he called you out of darkness into the light. I want you to remember the journey that you've gone through, the good times and the bad times. I want you to remember the heartaches and the joys. And I want you to share those with your kids. I want you to remember those things and tell those stories, because that's what it's about, is telling what God has done in your life over and over again. And I want that rock to just be the catalyst. For remembering, the catalyst for doing this. You know, I can't think of a better week to do it. I'm going to be out. We haven't done it in our family yet. I've gone and picked up 30 rocks and put, and I don't know if it was 30 because my back was getting kind of sore. There was this one. Whew, it really wore me out. I mean, I didn't just pick up any rocks. I went to like six different rock piles that farmers had out in the fields and stuff in different places. I went to six different rock piles, and I didn't just take every rock. I looked at them. I was thinking, is this a cool rock? And each one of the rocks that I put out there has some distinguishing mark. There's one rock, and I still don't know how it got there. There's a rock out there. I'm not going to tell you which one it is, but there's a rock out there that has a perfectly round hole in it. I mean, it's a big rock, but it's got a perfectly round hole about that big around, just perfect, right in it, and it goes in about that deep. There's a story there. There's a story of how that circle got there. I don't think it was, it might have been man-made, maybe some Indian sat there and chiseled out a hole in the rock. I don't know. But God put a hole in a rock. It's like he put water coming out of a rock. And I want you to pick up a rock. I want you to take that rock and I want you to sit down with your family. What a great week to do it during Thanksgiving week. What a great time because families are coming together. You're gathering together. What a great time to all of you just come down, pick through the rocks. If they get spread out, I don't care. It can be everywhere. Pick out a rock, take it home, and I want each one of you to share what God's done in your life. You know what? There's some little rocks out there too. I'm getting weird with this, but there's some little rocks out there. If you want to, each member of your family, pick up one of the small rocks and use that small rock and tell your testimony of how you came to know the Lord. This rock is the day that I came to know the Lord. I remember the day I came to the Lord was on like a Monday. I think it was a Monday, and it was freezing cold out. I remember I had my long john, my union suit, on underneath all my clothes, and I had my bibs on and my work clothes from being on the farm. And I remember going into the pastor's office and saying, "Mark, I need to be baptized. I need to do it." And he says, "Okay, when do you want to do it?" I said, "I want to do it right now." And he looked at me like I was crazy. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember going back into the baptistry room and getting changed and thinking, "Man, I got to take off all these long johns and all these different clothes." I remember thinking, "This is kind of silly that I'm doing this right now," but it was so urgent on my heart that I needed to do it right then. I remember the only people who were there was Dawn and the secretary, Lucretia, and it was just the three of us. I didn't even have my wife there. I know she's still mad at me about that. If I bring it up, she always looks at me like, "You know, I was the one that helped you get there, and you didn't invite me to come," but she wasn't there. But I went right back to her and told her what I did. I was still dripping wet when she saw me. I want my kids to know that story. I want to hear them remembering their story. I want Karina, I want to hear her version of how it was for that day in Pleasant Hill. I want to hear from Gabe again what he remembers about that day. I want people to tell their stories and remember what God has done and how he's impacted their lives. Don't take this lightly. Don't think that this is just another crazy thing, because God, here's the thing. God is preparing us. He's setting the stage right now for the next chapter in your lives. The next chapter in our church's life. And the thing is, when God is starting to prepare us, I believe that with all my heart, he's getting ready for this church to take the next step in what he's calling us to do. And the next step in what you have to do in your own life, in your walk with God. And God wants us to prepare. And the best way to prepare for that next step is remembering how faithful he has been. To remember how great and awesome his power is. You see, because the road that God has ahead for each one of us, is not a smooth, straight, easy road. There's going to be curves and bumps and potholes. Yes, there's going to be good times, but there's going to be deep valleys in the road. And a lot of people get afraid to even start that journey because they don't remember how faithful God has been and where he's brought you right now. The reason I say that, because in the book of Joshua, after this rock was set up, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, it says, "Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance." After they set the rock up as a covenant reminder, and that rock will cry out if they break that covenant, he says they sent them all back to their own hometowns in verse 28 of chapter 24. He says, "After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the son of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, he died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash." And then look at what verse 31 says, and this just gets me. Verse 31 says, "Israel served the Lord. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel." Did you hear that? It says, Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived Joshua, who outlived him, and all those who had experienced everything that the Lord had done for Israel. So they continued to serve the Lord as long as there was someone who what? Remembered. As long as there was someone who remembered, and there was something else that was really important that was going on there, it says, as long as there was someone else who had experienced what the Lord had done. Now, the scary thing is, what happens after those people died out
after those memories stop being shared with one another, after people stop reaching out in faith and continuing to do what God had called them to do, because God didn't just go into the land of Israel, into the promised land, and wipe everybody out. He didn't wipe them all out. You realize that? He didn't do that. You see, there were still remnants of Canaanites and Pezerites and all these different ites that were still in the land. They didn't wipe them out completely. And God did that on purpose. He really did. Take a look with me in Judges, the very next book in your Bible. In Judges. Oh, I'll see if I can find it. I'm thinking it's chapter 3. Yeah, it is. Memory serves me. That's pretty scary. Judges chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 1. It says, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. You see what's going on there? You hear what it says? It says God left some of those guys, some of those nations in the land of Israel to test those who had not gone through the battles, those who had not gone through the sea, those who had not experienced the manna and the quail and the water coming out of the rock. He says, I left some of those people in there so that they would be battle tested also, so they would have an opportunity to have experience of recognizing God's power in their life. Am I boring you? Are you not seeing what's going on here? You see, God is saying, I want you to remember, he says, but I don't want you to just sit back on your memories. I don't want you to just sit back and say, wow, that quail was good. Man, I was picking feathers out of my teeth for the next 3 months. Oh, that water that came out of the rock was good. It was so sweet. I'd never tasted water so good. He doesn't want you to sit back on your memories. He wants you to keep moving forward, forward into what he has planned for you. To keep seeking God's will in your life. To continue growing in your faith with God. Don't sit back and think, wow, that was the glory days. Those are the good old days. That's not where God wants us. He doesn't want us sitting in the past. He wants us going into the future. You see, after the Israelites, the ones who had experienced all those things that died, it says that they started turning away. It's kind of scary to me. That passage I just read in Joshua, where it says that those who outlived him, who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel, if I can get this right, if I can get the order of this right, Judges chapter 2, verse 6. Is this right? I think so. Yeah. 2, verse 6. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. Sounds like the same period of time. It says, after Joshua dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Here it is again. They served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived them and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Sounds exactly what I just read in Joshua, doesn't it? Almost exactly. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. After that, the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. You hear what's going on? It says, and the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord and the God of their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Asherahs. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies and all around them, whom they were no longer able to resist. You see what's going on, and I think it's happening today. I really do. I think it's happening today. If we don't, and it's not about the rock, but if we don't start sharing what God has done in your lives, with the next generation, with your kids and your grandkids, if we don't start sharing what he's done, the miraculous things he's done, if we don't start encouraging them to know that God is good, that they are going to stop stepping out in faith themselves. That's exactly what happened to the Israelites. They stopped stepping out. They got comfortable in the houses that were already built. They got comfortable plowing the fields that were already created. They got comfortable harvesting the grapes that someone else had planted. They got comfortable and they stopped reaching out. They stopped driving out the other nations. They stopped driving out the false gods in their country. And they stopped doing those things. They got comfortable and they sat back and they stopped going into battle for the Lord. They stopped seeing how the Lord could win those battles for them. And they got comfortable. And that's exactly what's going on in our generation. And it's scaring me. I see these kids that are sitting before me right now. You know what? They need to experience the power of God. They need to start going out and experiencing how God will work in their lives, but they won't do that unless they hear the stories of how God has worked in our lives. They won't do that unless they know that God is there, that He is faithful, He is able, and He is willing to continue spreading His news to the nations. He will fight those battles. They need to know. They need to hear. But more than that, they need to experience the truth of who God is. It's not a silly thing. It's not a silly thing to tell the next generation of how God has worked in your life. It's not a silly thing to remember the faithfulness and the power of God. It's not a silly thing to continue walking in that power. We need to know. We need to understand that He's real. He's still the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. His faithfulness will never change. His plan has never changed. The thing that changes is us. The thing that gets hardened is us. The thing that gets lazy is us. We need to remember. The passage I was talking about, and I'm almost done, believe it or not, I really am. Steve just said in his own mind, I could see it. Yeah, he says it every time, then he goes on for another 20 minutes. You were thinking that, weren't you? Ah, sure. John 7. Here's the passage that started the whole thing this week. John chapter 7. And it just seems so weird out of context. And I don't think it's out of context, but there's this one sentence in John chapter 7, verse 17. Jesus is talking, he's at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he didn't want to go, but he went late. Because everyone had an expectation of who he was and what he was going to do. So he showed up late to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he started teaching. And people started questioning who he was and why he was doing all this stuff and where he got his authority and all these different things. In John chapter 7, verse 16, Jesus answered their questions without them actually asking the question. He says, Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own." Remember, Jesus says, he says, "I don't do anything on my own." He says, I don't say anything without the Father saying it to me. I don't do anything unless the Father tells me to do it. He says, my teaching, the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm doing are not my own, Christ says. He says, it comes from Him who sent me. And then verse 17 says, listen to this. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And the reason that this stuck out to me so much is because we have to choose to do God's will. We have to choose to continue going further in our faith. We have to choose to stop being so comfortable in our world and stopping where we're at in our understanding and in our heart knowledge in what we're doing. We need to stop thinking that it's okay where I'm at right now and I can stay right here until He calls me home. We've got to stop with that mentality. We've got to start understanding that God is calling us to go further in our faith, to go further in our walk, to go further in our witness, to go further in the kingdom of God and not get comfortable and not to be afraid. He's telling us basically, He says, step out. Choose to do God's will in your life every day. and find out whether his teachings are true, whether God's provision is worthy, whether his power is enough, whether his provision is there. Don't get comfortable. Don't sit back. Step out. It starts by remembering. It starts by sharing. It starts by the encouragement of those who have experienced to those who have not. It starts by telling about God's faithfulness in your life and knowing that that will continue because He is faithful. He is true to His plan. And you can trust Him. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Have we learned from Him? I hope so. Does He have a plan for us? Has He abandoned us? No. He wants us to move forward. I'm asking you to start that process very simply by, as a family, picking up a rock, sharing what God has done. Each of you sharing the stories of how He's worked in your life, and then encouraging one another on where He's calling you to go from here. He doesn't want you to sit idle. He wants you to move forward. It's a choice. It's a choice we get to make every single day. As for me and my house, I choose to serve the Lord. Will you? I'm done. They're out there. If we need to get more, we'll get more. But you choose this day who you're going to serve. You choose this day where you're going to go from here. You choose. You choose who you'll serve. Let's stand and we sing.